Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
Thank you for joining us today at the Business Growth Cafe. I am Angelo Ponzi. Each week, we'll select from a menu of topics to discuss that can have an impact on your business growth. Areas we'll explore will influence barriers, challenges, opportunities with experts from a wide variety of disciplines that can directly or indirectly impact your growth strategies and offer insights and actionable steps you can incorporate into your business right away. This is our first show. I'm very excited. So we have Jack Kelly, CEO and founder of the Corlay Group, an organization that works with businesses to help them see the possibilities in their sales programs to drive business growth. Welcome, Jack.
It's good to be here.
Before we get started, let's take a few minutes and tell the audience about your company and your focus on sales and how you go about helping businesses grow.
All right, great. Again, thanks for having me here today. Corlay Group, we've been around for about 9.5 years, and our focus has been mainly around the B2B space for businesses. And the idea is teaching folks how to sell on a consistent and scalable basis. A lot of companies get started and they grow through tribal knowledge and the power of the CEO's ability to build the business. And over time, they need to be able to scale, because that's not a scalable model. So what I teach them is basically sales enablement, as the term is these days, putting the pieces in place in order to do so, making sure they understand who they're selling to, the types of folks they need in their organization in order to sell effectively, and then making sure they're actually doing it on a consistent basis.
Do you find, and we talk about scalability, that there's a time frame or a size of company where the as they start to grow and the owner, you know, a lot of cases we're both business people and we do a lot of selling ourselves.
Right.
At some point in time, when we need to scale, is there triggers or is there some kind of milestones that we should look at as business owners to take that next step?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And the thing I consistently see is business owners, CEOs trying to offload sales versus transition sales.
Okay.
And so usually I see it anywhere from 3 to 5 years, depending upon the type of business that they're in. And they just think they can hire to solve the sales problem. It's like, oh, I can finally get that off my plate. I don't have to worry about it anymore. And what ends up happening is they say, okay, I'll hire somebody with experience from my industry and they can take the ball and run with it. What often happens is they hire a salesperson, maybe give them a morning of training about, you know, who the company is and that sort of thing, says, go get them, Tiger. And they don't think about all the tools they may need, perhaps some of the transition of what I call that tribal knowledge. A lot of folks make assumptions, especially CEOs and founders of business, that somebody will think the way they do. Well, they generally don't. They may have the skill set, but unless you actually train that person, provide the time to mentor and bring that person along and then give them the tools to do it, I've unfortunately seen some good salespeople fail in those situations when if some time had been taken up front, it's kind of like I say, the paint prepping to paint a room.
Right.
It's a pain in the neck to do the taping and everything else, but once you do it, it turns out a lot better when you do it that way versus if you don't.
Right. In my experience as a consultant working with a lot of different businesses, I kind of see what you're talking about all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I always look at onboarding as well. So onboarding sometimes is a matter of, I worked with as a consultant with a company, they were 3 weeks of onboarding process that a salesperson could not step out onto the road, if you will, without having this training.
Yep.
I've worked with others, they're basically handed a catalog and said, okay, you'll be out in a sales call on Friday.
Yep.
So what's your thought process on kind of the best practices for onboarding and developing onboarding campaigns?
It is the most critical point in your relationship with an employee, whether that be sales or anybody else. Companies fail at this all the time. And as a matter of fact, over the summer, I just worked with a great technology company in San Diego called Retail Ops and their CEO, Sam Moses. And we worked specifically on this as he was ready to grow his sales team. But he understood enough that if I don't transfer the knowledge properly, I'm set up to fail. So we spent a few weeks figuring that out, working with him and his team on what were the different pieces of the organization they need to understand first before he threw them out to sell. Now, part of this was learning on the job with them, but we had very specific steps, milestones, and timelines related to each part of the business. And it wasn't just sales. It also had to do with their development team and what they do and understanding the cause and effect relationships there. So I actually developed a model for it in a master's program years ago that I continue to use with clients to this day. And I would say it's probably the least paid attention to part of a business that people have.
I would agree with that. You know, it's interesting too, and a lot of times we want to get the product knowledge, we want them to get out there and start to make the sales, but as a marketing guy, a lot of times when I think about brand, I struggle a lot of times with clients that the salespeople and the frontline people, even the inside, just don't have a clear picture and an understanding of what the brand is.
Absolutely.
So I always counsel that, you know, you have to market inside and outside in order to make sure that everybody's telling the same story.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about, you know, putting people on the streets and you know, doing that sales. And my motto has always been, over the years of being in the advertising business and marketing consultant and having the opportunity to be client side, that new business is the lifeblood of any company. So what do you see as the biggest challenge for companies when it comes to business development or prospecting?
Yeah, when it comes to prospecting now, it's a decision you have to understand, I think, even more acutely who your target customers are.
Okay.
By industry, and then also the buyers within those customers.
Do you find that, sorry to interrupt, but do you find that companies spend the time really developing those buyer personas and understanding the different levels of sell, right? I always look at it, there's the initiator who started the project,
right.
There's the evaluator, and there's the, you know, the person that writes the check.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
So there's always multiple levels, but mm-hmm. I find, it, to my dismay still, that people don't spend the time to understand, to your point, who that customer really is.
Well, and it's becoming, I think, more and more important. And here's why, is because with the dawn of the different ways we can connect with people now, whether that be social media, email, events, still can be very effective for some firms. Even some folks, I had a guy cold call me today and actually worked, believe it or not.
Okay.
that still does happen. But generally those are warmer now. But in order to do that effectively, you have to spend the time understanding who your ideal prospect is. Because let's say you're a CEO of a $20 million company,
mm-hmm.
and my conversation with you should be very different than my conversation would be even with the CFO of
exactly.
that company. If I'm not understanding where you derive value from what I do and tailor my conversation or my approach or my email or my outreach to you that way, then I'm spinning my wheels. And what's happening is quite frankly, this technology and the ability to do this is becoming more and more affordable for small businesses
right.
to do this. And so their competition's doing it. And if you're not, you're going to get left behind.
Right. Because it is, to your point, it's the buyer's journey.
Yep.
It's about the buyer profile and
yep.
looking at what stage they are and the
yep.
way they consume information. If you're at the early stages doing an evaluation, mm-hmm. very different how you talk to them versus if they're actually at the decision to buy. And again, depending on what is the level within the organization that they sit.
Yeah, and even I just recently saw a great deck from a colleague at a client where it showed what are the buyers feeling in each stage
oh, wow.
of the sales process. So are they red, yellow, or green based upon their position in the company, what they do? I thought it was really a great piece of information.
Well, so I'm going to take that as a company that's doing it well.
Yes.
How about some experiences where you've maybe had that we can give some guidance to the audience about what not to do when it comes to prospecting?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I you kind of teed me up on that a little bit, gave me a heads up. You'd be asking me this question and I look at it and I've seen a number of companies, let's say, for instance, a service company in, I worked a lot in the payroll and HR mm-hmm. outsourcing business. And I've worked with, because of that, worked with a number of companies in the space. And to the ones that were successful or not successful, everyone was a prospect. We can help everybody because everybody needs this service and that sort of thing. And I've seen reps within organizations that are not focused versus the ones that are focused. And the ones that are not focused can't figure out why they don't sell as much as that other woman or guy in the organization.
Hmm.
And when you bring it to light for them, it's that whole concept of change management. Do they want to make a decision? I'm big on decisions in selling. Are they going to make the conscious decision to change or not? And this one individual just said, well, it worked when I was selling copiers, and it worked when I was doing these other things, so it's got to work here.
Right.
And that person no longer is with the organization because they did not want to take the best practices that were literally in the desk next to them as far as how they were selling and apply them. So someone very talented could have absolutely done this but made the decision to do it, to not do it. And so that's what I see more often than not, is folks making a decision to stick with what's comfortable versus what might be a challenge for them. And that's the difference between the performers and the not-so-great performers.
Right, right. You know, let's continue this conversation a little bit about business development. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there used to be a time when in my outreach for new business, I usually judged it. If I couldn't connect within four touches or five touches, right, I was like, okay, forget these guys, they're not interested.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be I was giving up way too early.
Way too early, yeah.
And so a lot of the research right now will talk about it could take up to 12 touch points, if you will.
Right.
So any best practices or offerings you can make to the audience on that? Because again, I just was having a conversation, and I'll ask that question again for you, with a client. And one of the things we were discovering is the salespeople were giving up a little too early.
Sure.
And so now I showed them in a chart about where the progress starts to happen when you actually start to make your inroads. So
that's great.
Let's go ahead and you can elaborate on that a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, that's right along the lines that I tell folks. And what is a challenge for folks is sometimes when you say you got to put together a structure, because I've seen it up to 13 times to get a hold of somebody or the statistics today, and most sales reps give up after one or two attempts. So those that stick with it win, but it has to be thoughtfully put together. I help companies develop a cadence. So in other words, whether that's email, phone call, physical mail, if they happen to be in a region that's local, stopping by a customer, or even some cases not, what is the cadence that you're going to set up to engage a specific buyer or set of buyers within an organization? Now, depending upon the size of the deal and the size of customer you go after, one may be more generic if you're going to a wider, larger audience, maybe a smaller deal size.
Right.
Others could be something we could probably talk a whole show about, account-based marketing approach, to where you're getting very specific about your buyer, even the company, what are their needs, doing the research and making sure every time you reach out to them, it's relevant to that company and that buyer's needs within their organization. So, but it has to, you have to have a plan. You can't just say, okay, I didn't call Jack last week. What can I do today?
Right.
It needs to be, here's what the experience, the journey I want to take these folks through, and executing on that at a high level, and as necessary, customizing it to that particular person and or company.
Right. Plan and patience.
Absolutely.
Because it does take time. And working, again, with a client right now, they're already out on sales calls for 2019.
Sure.
So they're already laying that foundation. And I think that's important that I find the same when it comes to marketing strategy. A lot of times they go, we need a website, we need an email, we need a brochure. And it's like, whoa, time out. What's the strategy?
Yeah.
What's the messaging?
Yeah.
Who's the audience? Let's step back and be a little more strategic on that approach. And I think the same is absolutely for sales. Salespeople want to make a sale, but there's a process to it, and especially longevity, too, because you're looking at lifetime value versus one-offs, right?
Well, and that's just it. As most companies I work with want to have a relationship over time. It's not just selling one widget and moving on. It's how do we develop this relationship over time? And that's where the whole customer success movement has come from, to where you're proactively engaging customers over time. But the other part, skill that sales professionals need to have today, is to really understand the value chain of the business that they're working with and how what they do fits into that, how they enable the goals of the business, the outcomes of the business. And oftentimes what I see sales professionals do is talking about the problem they solve. And what I always say, elevate your conversation to what is the business trying to accomplish and understand that first. Then you can apply what you do and how it's going to help them get to those overall outcomes of their business versus just that one problem.
You could almost look at that as start with the why, right? The
absolutely.
Simon Sinek.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I recently posted a blog on sales strategy, and I outlined three points, and one of them was to sell more, mm-hmm. to existing customers,
right.
sell two more, right? Yeah. So new clients or open up new markets,
yeah.
or sell four more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we could probably say the sell more to clients makes sense and,
right.
and open up new markets.
Yeah.
But the pricing part of it is really the issue
mm-hmm.
because I've been in those situations where you start to inform a client that we're going to raise their prices, and it's pretty much no, you're not. So,
yeah, sure.
What's some tips you can give to a client that or a prospect that wants to change their pricing, and what's that strategy might look like?
Yeah, that's a really good question. As you know, the way we originally connected was some of the work I've done around customer surveys, customer loyalty, and that sort of thing. And one of the most interesting things that I see each time, pretty consistently, is when we ask the question why they originally chose your company, price or cost consistently comes in fourth or lower. They chose you for value-based reasons. Mm-hmm. What are you going to, again, do for their business? What are the things you're going to be able to do to help them move their business forward? Now, when you're having the conversation about cost increase, you need to bring the conversation back there. Because if you just start off, hey, I wanted to let you know today we're raising our prices,
right.
you're setting yourself up for failure. But if you start about, let's do a review of our relationship and our business and the things that we've accomplished together, and obviously you'll have to have accomplished some of the things that you set out to do and be adding the value that you originally stated you would, so you have to live up to your brand promise that you have out there. If you have done that, it's going to be a much easier conversation and negotiation than it would be if it's just an email that goes out, which we've all seen, saying you're getting a 5% price increase. Thank you for your business.
Yeah, thank you.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good information. Again, it's always that pricing is always that tough one to really look at, and it's very sensitive because, you know, I always tell people, when you're knocking on your prospect's door or even your client's door, trust me, your competitors are right behind you.
Absolutely.
Or they've already preceded you knocking on the door as well.
Well, and your awareness, obviously, of the market, your competition, and that sort of thing. I shouldn't take that for granted. You have to do your research first and understand where you sit
right.
Before you do something like that. But if you don't understand or it's not clear to the customer where your value is, then it's going to be a very difficult conversation. Or another situation I see a lot of is that the buyer that you originally sold to is no longer there.
Okay.
So you're dealing with a completely different person, and you have to kind of rebuild that value in their eyes before you go down that path.
All right. So I'm gonna ask Paul the engineer, who's waving fingers at me,
yes,
how much
sir.
Time do I have left?
Oh, we got about a minute or two left. We're down to the last couple minutes here.
That's it?
Yeah.
That was quick.
It's flown by.
That went by really fast. All right, so give me a few more minutes here. First, you know, we're salespeople, and mm-hmm. we're also business owners. So when you think about growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? Well, I always say confidence is a full pipeline. So if I feel that my pipeline is not full, that's what's going to most likely keep me up at night. And that, I think, goes to any sales professional or business owner. You make decisions differently when you have confidence that you've got revenue coming in. Not only retained revenue, but new revenue coming in. And that takes focus, consistency, and the willingness to have a little delayed gratification. But that's the most important dynamic that sales can help with in an organization, is the confidence that the pipeline is good, the revenue is there, we're going to be able to make investments and decisions that we couldn't make otherwise.
Okay. One last question I have here then. You know, for companies that are really struggling with business development, what tip or advice would you give them to improve the process?
Teach your customers how to buy. Because so often they're buying complex products or services that maybe they only buy once every few years. And understanding how to effectively buy that, if you can teach them to do that and make a good decision, then you're going to be their partner versus their vendor, and they're going to have a better outcome than they would otherwise.
Okay, fantastic. So, Jack, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much. Time flew by as I knew it would. I had a lot more questions that I didn't get to, but we'll have to do this again.
Absolutely.
So if someone would like to contact you, the listeners, yeah. How might they contact you?
Best way, through the website, corlegroup.com, C-O-R-L-E-A, and they can reach me through that, and our phone number's on there as well.
All right, and they can connect with you on LinkedIn as well, I assume?
LinkedIn, please. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more information about me and the Ponzi Group at www.theponzigroup.com. Connect with me on LinkedIn, and certainly I hope you subscribe to this show at businessgrowthcafe.podbean. We look forward to meeting you again next week at the cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.